Hi, and welcome to Parent Talk hashtag with Bev. So remember, I'm just a black British mother of West Indian descent with two children. Well, they're young adults now, based in London, UK. I'm not an expert of anything. I'm just sharing my thoughts, opinions, and experiences in the hope that it helps another parent or someone somewhere. So I have a confession to make. I have discovered lots of podcasts that I've written, but I had not recorded yet. So today, for your delicious edification, or whatever you want to call it, I've pulled one out of the batch, so to speak, and I thought I'd share it with you. And it's called Parenting the Long Haul. So I'm trying to keep this to 20 minutes to the best of my ability. So this might end up being a part one and part two, but let's just go with the flow and see how things go. So on these podcasts, I've been trying to balance sharing my experiences and thoughts that hopefully give you your own power to make changes that help you, yourself, and myself in our lives. Remember, I don't have the power that you have to change your own lives. All I know is that I wanted and I want to teach my kids to tap into that space. And the only way to do that is showing them. So even if I get it wrong along the way, they will pick up the tools or equipment they need so that when I'm dead and gone, and they face challenges or obstacles, they will have the memory of what I have left behind for them to collect. It's like leaving breadcrumbs on the path. Remember, I remember a fairy tale where they leave breadcrumbs so they can find their way. You know, I can't even remember what fairy tale it is. There's so many books that I've read, but yeah, it's something along those lines of leaving sort of breadcrumbs. But some breadcrumbs are there to tempt you and some breadcrumbs are there to save you, I guess. Well, I think that's what my parenting is currently like. As my children grow, who knows which breadcrumbs they will choose to pick up, but at least they'll have some on this path of life. Well, that's my thinking anyway. I remember attending various training courses in my extensive career. And at one of them, they kept saying, "We're giving you the tools to put in your toolkit so that any given situation, you can look in this toolkit and take out the tool required for the job." Well, I think if my memory serves me correct, that's what they said. And I think this is when I used to work at a college in London. Anyway, if parenting is a job, and I say that with inverted commas, because, you know, a job, you can leave a job, but unfortunately, parenting isn't really a job in inverted commas that you can leave, although sometimes you damn well wish you could. And you can't really leave it. Why? Because even if you run away from this responsibility, right, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, even 60 years later, the package that you left behind may come back to find you and hold you accountable. And that could be something that would kick you in your ass. Remember, we have been in lockdown, and although, you know, it's 2022 and we've been out of it for some time, we're all still trying to, you know, get back into this so-called new norm that's happening. But I remember in lockdown, there was a huge amount of programs that I was watching on my laptop. And I'm not even going to disclose what I've been watching, right? But I remember seeing some long-lost family program or children trying to find siblings, or one where, like, these two men, they were friends and they were so tight that everybody sort of said, you know, they look like brothers rather than just friends. And then I think someone must have suggested that they should take a DNA. And I suppose they probably said it out of jest. But anyway, you know, the two guys said, yeah, why not? And they took the DNA. And actually, the DNA test showed them that they were indeed brothers. Now, although this was a huge shock and a celebration, I'm sure that there were questions that were asked and truths revealed that those parents were going to have to answer at some point. So parenting is long haul work. You're carrying a heavy load, or it might not seem like it, and sometimes it feels like you cannot carry this load, but it is a long haul. And you may, you know, take breathers along the way, but you're in it for the long haul. I can only talk about my limited journey because my children are still young. And when I say young, they're 21 and 19. So they're still young, but they're not young like, you know, 6, 9, 11, 13, 15, although some of us don't think that the 11 and 15 year olds are actually young anymore, but that's another podcast. You know, so my kids, you know, they are still young, you know, and as I said, not as young as some people's, but we're still finding, you know, but if we're still finding it hard to cope right now, then they're still young in my head. Yeah, I think they'll always be like, you know, I'm a big hardback woman and my mother keeps calling me her baby because the reality is I am her baby. I'm the last child. I'm the youngest, so to speak. And I guess I will always be her baby. So I will always be young in her mind. I'm just saying there is more to come. So what do you do when, like I just said, there's more to come? Well, don't panic. Okay, yes, you're going to panic. Hang on a minute. Let me just think. When I came out of hospital with my first child, I cried. No, I didn't cry. Me bawl. I almost died in labor and looked like death warmed up afterwards, and it took me a few days, well, a week, to recover. Whereas recently my friend's cousin's daughter had her first child like yesterday and was home the next. I ain't hating, I'm just saying we panic, and it's normal to panic when you've suddenly got this bundle. So I realized how fragile I was, and that all the plans in my head about what I was going to do when I became a parent and how it was going to pan out right, it didn't live up to my fantasy. As they wheeled me into surgery, I remember telling my birthing partner, mum and husband at the time, that they had to take care of my baby. And in that statement, I was really willing them to understand what that meant, that their combined efforts were going to be needed to make sure my little girl would know me and what I wanted to do for her if I didn't make it out of that room. I don't know how they received that because I wasn't amongst them. And although we mentioned it afterwards when I came home, it was not something I dwelled on. Maybe I'll just have to ask my mum, you know, 19 years later is never really late. But, you know, I don't know if I really asked her. I think I did. I think we have had a conversation whereby she was like, you know, we panicked and, you know, we were all just outside, you know, waiting for the doctors to tell us what the outcome was. And I was none the wiser. You know, sometimes we hear what we want to hear when the time's right. Anyway, like, let me just get back on track. So what do you do when, like I just said, there's more to come? The urge is to run. Or they say, fight or flight instinct. Well, I couldn't run as I was in a wheelchair, so the power was taken out of my hands. I went into labour as an independent, confident, articulate woman, and I came out battered, bruised, and bawling. What an image. So what do you do when, like I just said, there's more to come? Well, you breathe. Yep, that's right. You inhale and exhale. Deep breath in. And a long breath out. Just like they taught us in prenatal. This gives your brain some time to adjust before reacting. If you need to cry, like I obviously did, then do that. Release it and let it go. Sometimes the tears sting and you blink, but they can't come out. Other tears are just like a trickle, like they're trickling down from your eyes, like your eyes are leaking and you can wipe them away. And some tears are like a dam that has burst and you can't even breathe from the avalanche. Other tears come with wailing and moaning like your soul is weeping. And others come where you feel like the center of your soul is howling and tears are accompanied by sounds you have never heard, dragged up from somewhere deep in your skin. Do I sound like I know what I'm talking about? Who knows it? So what do you do when, like I said, there's still more to come? Well, the crying is for you to release the tension, your expectations, disappointments, that this isn't fun, or what the adverts lead you to believe. This is lonely, that I don't know what to do. What the heck was I thinking? You know, the putting on of a brave face. There's frustrations, the feeling of isolation, the feeling of being crushed or crowded because you're not left alone. The feeling of powerlessness because everyone has come in to take over and you don't have any time to really try and get to know this child. The feelings that I don't want to know this thing that's disrupting my best laid plans. All you can do is cry and release. Pushing down feelings of I'm not ready for this, and yes, I am ready for this, and so much more. Then when the crying has stopped and the breathing becomes a little easier, what do you do next? Well, what I normally did was get back into doing mode. You know, doing this, doing that and the other. I got into the learning routine, when to feed, burp, change, nappy, prepare food, clean house, take care of partner, entertain visitors, some of whom I didn't want to see because I was still battered. I was doing the daily routine, get kids ready for school, ready for work, go to work, collect kids from school, do homework, get ready for bed, watch TV, go bed, ready for work the next day, etc., etc., etc. Because you know, time just passes. But if you don't put in time to release burdens, they create times of crisis. If you don't put in some quality time into the things you love, like your family, they won't be there in times of crisis. That's what people say. And the shame and embarrassment I felt prevented me from reaching out. You know, there's this perception, right, that as a Black woman, you're just strong. And you only have extreme feelings, emotions. You're either high or you're either low. But the reality is, right, that I'm human. You're human. We're all human. Whatever culture we're coming from. And we all have a point of breakage. Yeah? The doing mode, taking care of everybody, getting into a routine so you can't think or even breathe. You know, you do hit a wall eventually. And if you don't, then you're really lying to yourself. That's my personal opinion. Because if we don't take the time out to breathe and to cry, if that's what's needed in our parenting, then we're running, we can run on something that becomes empty. And then it's just running on, I don't know, how can I put it? You know, the fear is that I never wanted to be like my mum. I didn't want to parent like my mum parented me, because I felt that parenting was out of frustration and anger and disconnection. And I didn't want that. But I found that I started doing that because I didn't take the time to allow myself to cry, to regroup, you know, to try and do things a little bit different. Because once you get into the routine of stuff, you think it makes life easier. And in the short run, yes, it does. But in the long run, I had to wonder what I was creating for myself. I mean, I could go deeper. But as I say, I'm not an expert, right? But some strategies that I'd like to recommend that, having gone through my own cycle, that might help someone else. So releasing is key. Now, whether it's you go to a counsellor or counselling, and that really means going to the GP, telling them you need some talk therapy because you want to get these thoughts out of your head. Or you have someone to really talk to who may have had children already, so that you can rest in their company for a while. Now, everybody's got a different journey in this parenting job, right? And not everybody has got gems of wisdom, not even me. But I think if you can rest with somebody who's honest about their parenting, it helps you to be honest about what you're doing and if you need help. And if you don't, then it's just good company. Or another way of releasing stuff is that, you know, have a friend who you can be real with. You don't have to do counseling if that's not your thing. But you can have a friend you can be real with about how you feel. And they don't judge you, because you might need a space to say the unpleasant side of this new role that you find yourself in. And this can be a bit tricky, because no matter how meaningful your friends may be, what you might drop on them may be overwhelming. You know, I guess this is where mums may come in handy. I did say may come in handy. You know, sometimes our mums are judgmental, and sometimes they're more problematic because they're parenting secondhand. And so what they did with you and what you fall into the habit of doing, they don't want you to do with their grandchildren. You know anything, Gossa? They don't want you to treat them like they had treated you with their grandchildren. And then that creates a whole nother conflict. But I ain't got time for that right now. Or another way is, you know, just have some time out for yourself. I mean, where you can have your own company and be somewhere that you can be pampered, whatever that looks like for you. Yeah. Or you can write a journal to express the thoughts that you're having and your feelings so that they're out of your head and they're expressed outward and not inward. And then it's like getting a load off. These are just some strategies or suggestions of how we can try and deal with parenting in the long haul and all our emotions and feelings around it. Because the reason some of those things helped me anyway was it gave me a chance to give back to me so that I could feel like I was filled up. And, you know, when I felt fuller, then I could give my kids, my friends, the community I work in, I could give them me because I'd spent time giving something back to myself. But I mean, I learned the hard way. So I'm not telling you because I haven't suffered and that I haven't lost. You know, I've had to find my way. And these hints that I'm giving you have helped me to come to a space where I feel, you know, a little bit more balanced. But I didn't do these things that I'm suggesting until I nearly got crushed by life, crushed by this idea of the responsibility of parenting, crushed by my marriage falling to pieces, crushed by, you know, the job being made redundant and me taking it personal on one level, thinking that my confidence was battered. It's easy to feel crushed, and the desire to give up can come like waves or regular thoughts that invade your mind at weird times. We can feel crushed, especially when we try to compare ourselves to others. But remember, you're looking from the outside, and our imagination is brilliant at painting a picture of the ideal. But let me tell you, there's no ideal. We all struggle. Parenting is a long haul, whether you're a full-time parent or only a part-time parent. And by that, I mean the one who doesn't have full responsibility or is just visiting or connecting with your children as and when. Parenting is a journey of ups and downs, twists and turns, rewards, and then invisibility, as you can often get taken for granted. Or in some cases, you really are invisible. I've been learning that parenting is about me managing myself and my feelings, loving myself so I give without feeling resentful to my children and others. It's been hard work. And I say that in a very English tone. It's been hard work. But if I go back into my roots, it's been hard work. But it's been an investment in me. And if you speak to my children, they will tell you for themselves how they feel about my parenting, good, bad, and indifferent. The longest journey that any of us will ever have is with ourselves. My desire is to see my children grow and flourish in this unsure world as they leave home and take their roles on this stage of life. Like anyone, I dread anything happening to them and don't know how I would manage my emotions should I have to suffer any deep losses. But I try and focus on loving my children, my family right now as we struggle with things. But, you know, when we sit down and enjoy watching a film together, when we create memories together, even the times we piss each other off and then we finally have to apologize to each other because we care enough to express our hurt and understand the importance of healing. I'm only a messenger, someone who may shine a light on something that you already know and maybe you want to change, but are either keeping yourself busy and not having time for it? Ain't nobody got time for that, you might say. All I have found out is that either I make the changes or life will make it for me. Life making that choice for me has been hard. So either you take small steps that you're ready to make, or wait for the tidal wave of life to do it for you. The choice has always been with you, because you're the one who has the power. So that was one of the podcasts that I never recorded that I'm now done. So thanks for listening. I don't even know how long this was, but until the next time, like, share, and if you want to reach out, 2023 is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to be trying some new things, and I won't say anything. We'll wait and see, but there'll be opportunity for people to reach out and for us to connect. Until then, enjoy the rest of 2022 as we count down towards the end of the year. Be safe. Don't spend too much over Christmas. It's the way you make people feel that matters. It's one day. It's a celebration. It marks the celebration of the birth of Christ. For those of us who celebrate Christmas. But whatever you do, have a happy holiday, have the rest, and we'll see you on the other side. Take care and remain blessed. I'm out.